This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders futilely attempt to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Nancy.
Hello.
On today's episode, we're kicking off Star Wars Month by discussing our favorite things in the Star Wars saga. We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Apologies right off the bat for missing last week's episode. I was on the road for work, and we couldn't quite make it work out.
Sorry.
Our bad, mostly my bad. Sorry.
We're making it up by giving away a copy of Into the Void in the live stream.
Yes, so, we see? Are.
This is why you should come listen to the live stream every week.
Because occasionally, once in a blue moon, we give away a prize. Yes, we're giving away a copy of Dawn of the Jedi Into the Void by Tim Leben today. Thanks to Random House for providing this promotional copy. So all you have to do to win it is get into the live stream, post a comment in the chat, and then we will take the names in the chat, throw them into a randomizer, and select one winner.
Yep. Yay books.
Yay books. In fact, I should go tweet that out again.
Yes.
Want a copy of Into the Void? ? Join the live stream and chat right now. Livestream.com/Tosh.
This is fascinating radio, by the way.
Yeah. Yes, giving away a copy, we're going to do that at the end of the show, so if you're in the chat right now, you might just win one. Yeah, stick around till the end.
I'm in the chat, can I win?
No.
Poop.
Toshi Station staff not eligible.
Man! I quit.
Aw. Okay, moving on. A quick note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and help keep the lights on the podcast going.
Yep.
Although we don't really have lights. We more like have sound.
More like sound, but
yeah.
I need to run power to this mixer into the computer to make it go, so that would be helpful. Thank you.
Yes.
So why don't we go ahead and discuss what's new on the blog? What have we been up to since the last time we all got together to chat?
Well, Bria had two updates for the Waru Express. First of all, she finished up the New Jedi Order, and then she suffered through the Darkness trilogy. And I would be lying if I said I hadn't been looking forward to that review for a while.
You know, it's occurred to me that I'd say about 30% of what Bria has done for the blog and podcast has forced her to drink in excess.
Yeah, because unlike the Crystal Star, this is three books, not just one, three. And she tweeted some stuff that I forgot had been in the trilogy and was like, oh, that's why I haven't read it again.
Yes, stuff that we had pushed deep into the darkest recesses of our mind, never to emerge.
Yeah, so Bria's recap was pretty much all that I expected it to be, so hats off to Bria.
Better you than us.
She also went to Awesome Con. She talked about that last time she was guested on the podcast, but she put up a cosplay roundup. So if you want to see some cool pictures of people in costume, be sure to check out that post. And also reviewed Dawn of the Jedi Into the Void, and she liked it. So, yay.
Awesome.
And finally...
Don't forget, we're giving away a copy of Dawn of the Jedi Into the Void.
Yes.
Just got to be in the chat.
Yes.
Post a comment. So yes. If you're listening right now and you haven't posted a comment yet, post a comment.
Yes.
Hurry.
Even if it's just to say comment.
We're not picky.
And finally, Brian gave his thoughts about the Lucasfilm EA game deal, which we'll be talking about later on in the news. But suffice it to say, you are happy about it.
Yes, there's a lot more to be happy about than there is to be upset about, but we'll come back to that.
Yes.
And let's go ahead and move into a segment we call Fixer's Flash, where we discuss the inane, geeky things we've been up to since the last time we all got together. Nancy, what have you been up to?
Well, I watched Star Trek 2009 version for the Wrong Opinions About Movies podcast, Star Trek Into Madness series. They have been doing a retrospective of all the Star Trek feature films leading up to the release of Into Darkness next week. And we volunteered to guest on the Star Trek 2009 episode, partly because A, it's the only Star Trek movie I've seen, and B, J.J. Abrams has directed it, so thought it was, you know, appropriate for the Star Wars podcasters to be on that episode.
Yeah, it made a certain amount of sense, but a part of me regrets not picking Voyage Home.
After listening, I feel like I've seen all the movies after listening to all the different episodes, and I now have a clear view of which ones are not good and which ones are good. No, I have not seen the one about the whales. Sorry.
That's Voyage Home.
Hey, I'm doing a Star Wars podcast, not a Star Trek podcast.
Nuclear vessels.
Oh, God.
Transparent aluminum.
I have seen the thing on Tumblr about Bones being disgusted with the dialysis and giving the lady a pill to grow a new kidney.
Oh, I love that movie so much.
If you say so.
It's great! Scotty can't figure out while people can't talk to their computers and looks at the keyboard and mouse and is like, oh, it's so primitive and disgusting, you cavemen.
I don't think I'd be able to watch it, though, because the mom from Seventh Heaven is in it.
Oh, is she? Oh, she is.
Yes.
And I hated her on Seventh Heaven.
Yeah.
The worst television mother ever.
And apparently the dad's in another one. I think the one before that.
That's a weird connection.
Yep.
And folks, if you thought there was no way we could ever tangent off to Seventh Heaven in this podcast, you were wrong.
Yes. And I also went to Disney's May the 4th Be With You celebration, because even though I believe that Star Wars Day should be May 25th, I also am a sucker for Disney World. So my convictions went away when they said they were doing a special event and DJ Lobot was there.
Every Star Wars event should have DJ Lobot.
I really hope that they use him for Star Wars weekends, because that was a ton of fun doing the dance party. But we'll see.
Bring back DJ Lobot. I mean,
yes.
Do it for all the Disney events. Any special Disney event, DJ Lobot. Put him on the cruise ships.
Right? It'd
be amazing.
Seriously.
I'd go on a Disney cruise for DJ Lobot.
Well, you'd go on a Disney cruise anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what I've been up to. What have you been doing, Brian?
Well, I've been reading through an advanced copy of Crucible. I'm on chapter 13 right now. Obviously, I can't say much yet since it is an advanced copy. The book isn't due out until July, and I don't want to spoil anything for you all, but... you're reading this one as well.
Uh-huh. I'm on chapter 14. Or chapter 15.
I think all we can say about it is that it's a book both of us are struggling with.
It's a book by Troy Denning.
Yeah.
That's what we'll say about it. It's a book by Troy Denning.
Some people struggle with KJA. You and I struggle with Troy Denning.
Well, KJA is easy to read. That doesn't mean it's good, but it's easy to read.
Yeah, it's this is just a very dense book.
Yes.
But we are, when the book does come out, we are going to have a roundtable chat discussing it, because it is kind of a bookend.
Yes, we are. Okay. I didn't know that. Thanks for telling me.
It was kind of obvious. I mean, it's a bookend to this whole era. Of course we were going to do a roundtable on it.
They can still release Sword of the Jedi. Over, under on that actually happening.
I mean a bookend for the big three.
Oh, okay. Until they release the sequel trilogy.
Yep. This is your reminder that the sequel trilogy is a thing that's actually happening.
I had to remind myself of that a lot.
It's been how long now?
End of October.
End of October, and I'm still incredibly weirded out by all of this.
Yeah.
It's just surreal. When the production photos start coming out, I'm going to lose my proverbial you-know-what. And I also went and saw Iron Man 3 last weekend.
You and every other person except for me.
Yes, except I didn't see it on opening day because I was off at a corporate retreat. That was more fun.
You were in a mountain.
I was on a mountain.
Why are you climbing a mountain?
I was, yes. Not climbing, just hiking.
It's a song. See, I know some Star Trek things.
So, yeah, I did go see Iron Man 3. I absolutely loved the first two-thirds of the movie. I've got mixed feelings about the last third.
Okay. We can't talk about it because I haven't seen it because I'm lame.
So are you going to see it?
It's not that I don't want to see it. It's that I'm not going to go see it this weekend because I'm doing stuff on Sunday and I'm writing on Saturday. And then next weekend, you're here, Star Trek comes out, so we're going to go see Star Trek. And then pretty much after that is all the other movies are coming out I want to see. So maybe, like, near the end of the month, if someone goes with me, I'll go watch it. If someone goes with me, whose name is Shannon.
Shannon, who is listening to the podcast right now.
Yes. I can't go on Saturday. I am sticking to my schedule.
And
I can go at the end of the month.
So you are getting roasted alive in the chat right now for not having seen Iron Man 3 or Voyage Home.
I don't care.
Oh, that's great.
Please.
And someone suggests we go see Fast and Furious 6. No.
No.
No. I didn't think there should have been two of those, let alone six.
Yes.
But yes, that's what I've been
but
up
yes,
to.
Yes, I will be going to see Star Trek when it comes out.
Did you hear they moved the release date up a day?
Yeah, I was thinking that we can go see it on Thursday instead, maybe.
That sounds like fun to me. Hey, we're on the podcast. We're planning out my visit to Orlando next week.
It's relevant. It's you know, science fiction-y.
Oh, and speaking of that, are we going to do a Star Wars weekend special podcast?
Yes.
Okay, so next week we're coming at you with two podcasts.
Yay!
Hooray! That'll be fun.
So we're going to Star Wars weekends, and we will talk all about it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm looking forward to it. Who's on tap for this weekend?
Week one is Ray Park, Jeremy Bullock, and Dee Bradley Baker.
Great lineup. And Ashley Eckstein and James Arnold Taylor will be there every week.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to that. I'm excited.
Me too. Star Wars Weekends is the best.
And that's what we've
except for Celebration.
Celebration is better.
Yeah.
And DragonCon. Oh, yes, DragonCon.
Sorry, I'll let you talk now.
You're going to let me segue into the next segment now?
Yes.
Okay. And now that you've heard about the inane things we've been up to, we're going to go ahead and slide into a segment we call Deke's Dirt, news from around fandom. Get cozy, because since we were gone a week, there's a lot here to cover.
Yes. And speaking of Ashley Eckstein, her universe teased the Rogue Squadron dress, and I think every female on Twitter squeed over this dress for like 5 minutes because it was awesome. And I believe she's going to have that and some other merchandise at Star Wars Weekend, so I'm excited to purchase that. And she, her universe also released new merchandise exclusively through Hot Topic. It came, the new merchandise came out on May the 4th. And there was two Star Wars dresses. I believe there was some other Star Wars shirts. There was an ESB shirt, a Han shirt, and several other things. But the there's a Stormtrooper dress that I really, really, really like. And I'm tempted to get it, but I'm going to get the Rogue Squadron dress instead.
Oh, the Rogue Squadron dress is really neat. Yes. And you're right. Incredibly positive reaction when Ashley tweeted out those preview pictures of it.
Yeah, it was funny because she posted a picture of the two dresses from Hot Topic that are like a sheath style dress. And, you know, people liked it. And then someone said, what about A-line dresses? You know, because not everyone looks good in that style, which I, agree with, because that's one of the reasons I'm probably not going to buy it, is because I don't really like those styles of dresses. And then she was like, we're also doing the Rogue Squadron. We're also doing A-line dresses. And then she tweeted out the picture of the Rogue Squadron dress, which was an A-line style and very, very, very cute. So, yes.
Now, what's the idea you're kicking around for that first weekend? Trying to get a bunch of people to buy the hoodie.
I think the second weekend after people have bought it, I want to do a tweet up where everyone wears a dress and we meet at Star Tours and go ride Star Tours all in our Rogue Squadron dresses.
I love it.
And chant for Hoth, because, you know, that would make, you know. But yeah, because we went at the May the 4th, there was four of us in our Mara Jade shirts. And it was just kind of coincidental that we all wore the Mara Jade shirt on the same day. So we got a picture in front of Star Tours. It was really cool. But yeah, so new stuff from her universe and more stuff coming soon. Very cool and exciting.
And speaking of new stuff, the Clone Wars bonus content will feature Plo Koon and the Mystery of Sifo-Dyas.
Ooh, my first thought was, I wonder if it'll override anything from Darth Plagueis.
I'm going with yes.
Yes. They didn't really talk about it much in Darth Plagueis, but I know it was mentioned. So it'll definitely be interesting to see what they say, because I know that was one of the things that people were confused about in the prequels and wanted to know more about. And one of the things in Darth Plagueis did was it went into that, and what actually, you know, what was Sifo-Dyas an actual Jedi, or was it just a cover name? But, you know, in the book it says, yes, he is a Jedi, and you learn more about him and all that sort of thing.
So that'll be neat. That's definitely one bonus arc I am very much looking forward to.
Yeah, it looks cool. They still haven't said how we're getting this bonus content, so that'll be interesting.
In Expanded Universe news, the making of Star Wars Return of the Jedi, and as well as Empire and Rebellion Razor's Edge, got covers last week.
Yes, the making of Return of the Jedi has a scene from the throne room duel with Luke on the top of the stairs and Vader on the bottom with his saber out, which is awesome. And I'm very glad they have Luke on the cover, because he's been on all three of the covers, as he should be. And then Razor's Edge cover came out, and I was just like, yes, Leia looks badass.
Oh, I love this cover. Love it, love it, love it, love it.
I like it too. She's got a big ass gun and she's wearing clothes that make sense.
Cargo pants.
Cargo pants.
Cargo pants. It makes sense.
Clothes with pockets, clothes that are easy to move in. Yeah. The only thing is it's sleeveless, but I guess that's okay since it's got pockets and, you know, can maybe she's in a hot planet. Who knows?
But it's not a catsuit.
No, it's not a catsuit. It's not sexy clothes. It's actual, you know, useful clothes.
It's tactical clothing that makes sense.
And she's got a huge gun. I like that.
These are the kind of covers we were looking for and the kind of artwork we wanted to see.
So, and I might end up doing the cosplay.
It's a very, very cool cover with some great art that would make for a fantastic Leia costume.
Yeah, I know Bria was talking about it too. So, yes.
So, yes, we're happy about that.
We are. And we're also happy about the synopsis for Kenobi that came out on the Random House website. And I'm going to read it because it's really awesome. And it's, the Republic has fallen. Sith Lords rule the galaxy. Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi has lost everything. Everything but hope. Tatooine, a harsh desert world where farmers toil in the heat of two suns while trying to protect themselves and their loved ones from the marauding Tusken Raiders. A backwater planet on the edge of civilized space. And an unlikely place to find a Jedi Master in hiding. Or an orphaned infant boy who's on whose tiny shoulders rests the future of a galaxy. Known to locals only as Ben, the bearded and robed off-worlder is an enigmatic stranger who keeps to himself, shares nothing of his past, and goes to great pains to remain an outsider. But as tensions escalate between the farmers and a tribe of sand people led by a ruthless war chief, Ben finds himself drawn into the fight, endangering the very mission that brought him to Tatooine. Ben, Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi, hero of the Clone Wars, traitor to the Empire, and protector of the galaxy's last hope, can no more turn his back on evil than he can reject his Jedi training. And when blood is unjustly spilled, innocent lives threatened, and a ruthless opponent unmasked, Ben has no choice but to call on the wisdom of the Jedi and the formidable power of the Force in his never-ending fight for justice.
I want to read this book now!
Yes, me too.
I don't know which book I'm more excited for, this one or Razor's Edge.
I don't know. It's they're both really sounding good.
This has been a great year for Star Wars books. I mean, it's kind of ironic with all the uncertainty about the future of the expanded universe, but this has been a stellar year.
Yeah, I just like the fact that it's, I mean, obviously there's going to be conflict in it and, you know, the plot sounds interesting, but it seems to be really focused on Ben, which that's when I love Star Wars books the most, is when they're focused on the characters. And even if it's more than one character, but this is, you know, it's character driven. And that's why we're all here reading these books, is because we like these characters.
Yeah, so Kenobi, very excited. Can't wait to get our hands on it.
Yes.
And continuing on the expanded universe theme, Pablo Hidalgo.
Yes.
Our superior wit and intellect. conducted a Facebook chat over at the Star Wars Books Facebook page. And as always, Pablo's there with the insight and the humor.
Yes. Club Jade had a recap on their website, and he had some very interesting quotes. Of course, he was asked about the relationship between the movies and the expanded universe, and he said, "I think the EU will always continue to be a part of the Star Wars experience, in that there are stories that are best suited for books, comics, games, etc. The relationship between cinematic content and expanded universe content will continue to be what it is today and what it has been in the past. What happens on screen is one thing. What happens in the books is another. How they connect and interact is something I'm really eager to see."
So the expanded universe isn't going away?
No. In fact, there might be more of it. What?
What?
But what we know as the EU right now might not be canon. So if you only derive your entertainment out of things being canon, then you might have issues.
It's almost like I wrote a piece on this subject.
Yes, right? He had a lot of other interesting comments, so be sure to go check that article on Club Jade. We'll put a link in the show notes. And he's a cool guy. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you should. Infinata.
I'm reading through some of the selections over at the Club Jade recap of that chat.
Mm-hmm.
Is there ever a Pablo thing that goes by that doesn't mention Ewoks in some way?
No.
On the wackiest issue he's had to deal with, Ewoks, it always comes down to Ewoks. Identifying the individuals, debating when the live-action movies take place in comparison to the cartoons. A lot of impassioned Ewok debates here.
Nice.
So definitely go check out that chat. A lot of great stuff there. And if for no other reason, go read it because it's Pablo, and Pablo's fantastic.
Yes.
Sliding into some episode 7 news. Kathleen.
There's episode 7 news.
I know, right?
That's a thing that's happening.
Someday this will not be so weird in my head. Someday.
What are we going to do when we're actually seeing the movie?
I don't know, but all I know is even as I'm sitting in my seat leading up to the Lucasfilm Limited thing screen, I'm still going to be like, this isn't actually happening.
But see, now I'm sad. I'm sad for you, Brian.
Why?
Because did you see Revenge of the Sith in the theaters?
Yes, I saw all of the prequels in the theaters.
Oh, okay.
Just opening day.
See, you'll never get to see a midnight release when the Fox fanfare starts and everyone just goes, excuse my language, fucking crazy.
That's going to be the weirdest thing of all, not having the Fox fanfare there.
It really, really is. And I know everyone in the theater is going to go, bum, ba-da, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
And it will be very appreciated.
It'll make me sad. Like, I remember seeing Phantom Menace in the theater at midnight, and, you know, you hear, ba-dum-bum, ba-dum-bum. And everyone just went, wah!
Instead, we're going to get the Disney castle opening. Wee!
It's not as exciting.
It really isn't.
Although, the problem with that is now whenever I go see a movie with the Fox fanfare, I expect to see Star Wars afterwards, and I'm always disappointed when it's not.
I mean, you're channel surfing one day, some channel's got a movie on, it does the intro, and it does that Fox fanfare, and for a moment you think, ooh, I'm gonna see Star Wars, and then it's something else.
Yeah.
It's always a letdown.
Oh, hey, we went on a tangent.
Yes, we did. Sorry, listeners.
That's one.
and J.J. Abrams is saying...
You skipped one.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. Sorry.
Sorry.
Oh, we started on this bullet point and then got on a tangent before we could finish it.
We did.
Kathleen Kennedy says they won't be as secretive as J.J. Abrams was during Star Trek Into Darkness in regards to Episode 7. And I say thank you.
Yes, thank you. Because I'm really annoyed with the whole who is Benedict Cumberbatch thingy because, dear God, just give us his name. Who cares? People are still going to like the movie.
It's inconsequential. Just tell us. At this point, it's just annoying not to know. There's no suspense. There's no excitement. I'm just annoyed. But speaking of J.J. Abrams.
Yes.
He says... And there's differing reports as to exactly how this is interpreted, but in a press conference, he said that he expects John Williams to score episode 7.
And I say, duh.
I think this is one that's out of Abrams' hands.
Well, I mean, it's the dude's a fan of Star Wars. John Williams is willing and able to score the next Star Wars film. Why would he, as a fan of Star Wars, not want that to happen?
But even if, let's say just for a moment, and assume that Abrams doesn't, for some reason, want Williams, I don't think he's allowed to make that call. He will be overruled by Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah, that's something you don't mess around with. You know, I don't think George Lucas is necessary to make a good Star Wars movie. I know that people will think that's ridiculous to say, but I believe that. I do, however, think that John Williams is necessary to make a good Star Wars movie, because it's like, that's what his music is, what brings it alive, and that's what George Lucas has said numerous times.
Now, James in the chat, who says that Giacchino was at the Return of the Jedi screening on May 4th.
Oh, that's cool.
So let's fuel some speculation there.
Well, I think it would be cool to have them working together.
Absolutely, yeah.
Because, I mean, I don't expect John Williams to score, like, the standalone movies. But, like, at least the episodes, he's at least has to be involved with them, you know? And even if they don't, even if he doesn't do the score, they need to at least use his themes, because, you know, I really liked the Man of Steel trailer, but man, it was weird without the John Williams music.
And that's something I fear is, you've got an established IP in Star Wars, and John Williams might be more important than anyone else to maintaining that consistency throughout the franchise.
Yeah, I mean, even if they keep making movies long after he's gone, they still need to use that main theme. Because that's what Star Wars is. I mean, even Clone Wars uses a different version of it, but it's still recognizable as Star Wars.
Yeah. But honestly, though, if Williams is willing and able to score Episode 7, he's going to be the one scoring Episode 7.
Yeah, he's got to do it.
And I don't think it matters what Abrams wants here.
Yeah, I mean, but I think he would want it, because I suspect think it would just be silly
Williams.
Not to.
I suspect he wants Williams.
Yeah.
But even if he didn't want Williams, I don't think it's his choice on that front.
Agreed. And also, Episode 7, they said they're targeting an early 2014 start to filming. So everyone get your cameras ready, spies!
Oh, there is going to be so much set espionage for this one.
There really is. So yeah, like, people who are going around saying, oh, there's an announcement, they're going to announce the title of the movie. No, they're not going to announce the title of the movie. They don't do that until, like, not that long before the movie starts. They haven't even started filming yet.
They're not even done with the screenplay yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, again, everything is in flux right now. Even the target date to start filming, because they can't do anything until Michael Arndt is done with the screenplay.
What? They need a screenplay? Don't you know, for Phantom Menace, George Lucas wasn't finished until they were well into pre-production. And in the final Episode 7 news, Mark Hamill crashed the Return of the Jedi screening on May 4th. Still not confirmed for Episode 7. So people, don't say that he's confirmed, because he's not.
Not confirmed, but he did imply that both he and Carrie Fisher are in the picture.
Well,
duh.
Yeah, this is another announcement that's going to come out and be like, oh, wow. Yeah, I'm
no
surprised.
No kidding.
I mean, I'll be really, really, really excited, you know, when they announce it, but I'm not going to be surprised.
Yeah.
I'll probably go running around going, oh my god, we get to see Jedi Master Luke Skywalker, oh my god! Something like that.
Something like that, yes. When you see him on the screen, what are you going to do?
I might faint. You're gonna have to make sure I stay awake.
Duly noted.
Have to hold me. Or a nice swoon.
Fantastic.
Like just like that.
Oh dear. Oh my. In other Star Wars related news, the full guest list for Star Wars Weekends is finally out.
Yeah, they sure took their time announcing it.
Sorry, I'm pulling it up. What do we got?
Well, like I said, first week we've got Ray Park, Jeremy Bullock, and G. Bradley Baker. And I'm excited for all of those guys. I've seen them all before, and they're really awesome. Yes, even Jeremy Bullock, who is Boba Fett. I still like him a lot, even though he's Boba Fett. And the second weekend, May 24th to the 26th, is Ray Park's there again. Warwick Davis and Jim Cummings, who I am super excited about because it's Hondo.
Everything needs more Hondo.
I want to make a Team Hondo shirt.
I would gladly wear a Team Hondo shirt.
Yes, James, the whole force behind Team Hondo approved me making a Team Hondo shirt.
Let's get it up somewhere, and let's give people the chance to buy a Team Hondo shirt.
But then if I made a Team Hondo shirt, I would be obligated to stand in line, get there super early so I can get a fast pass to get his autograph so I can get a picture with him.
I love that Disney has fast passes for these.
Yeah, but the problem is that you have to get there at like 5:30 in the morning to get them.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
No. I don't even stand at line at conventions to get autographs.
Right. Yeah, as James said, what Hondo would simply cut in line? Agreed, he would. May 30th, 31st through June 2nd, we've got Warwick Davis again. Tim Rose, who was Akbar in Return of the Jedi.
I'm not saying it.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
You can say it yourselves, listening audience.
And also Sam Witwer, who hasn't been there before. So voice of Darth Maul. Very cool. Excited about that. And June 7th through 9th, the weekend I will not be there because I will be elsewhere. Somewhere else across the country.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Was Billy Dee Williams, Peter Mayhew, and Tom Kane.
Yes, disclosure there. I'm graduating from college and Nancy's coming to visit. So she's missing out Billy Dee Williams, Tom Kane, and Peter Mayhew.
Yep, I deserve something for that.
Yes, maybe you do.
Maybe a Rogue Squadron dress.
Okay, hey, hang on, let me just make a note of that.
Or a taco.
Thank you, James. In the chat suggested taco. I owe you a taco.
And Brian, you take the next one because this is where I sleep.
Okay, yes. Lucasfilm selected Electronic Arts for a multi-year licensing deal to produce AAA core target audience game titles. And I got to pull up my list because I had a bunch of assorted thoughts earlier this week about this to kind of address fan, I don't want to say backlash, but...
Well, EA sucks, Brian. I don't know anything about gaming, and I know that.
Uh-huh. So to kind of frame this one up, Electronic Arts has been voted the worst company in America in consumerist March Madness-style terrible company bracket 2 years in a row over Bank of America twice.
As a Bank of America customer, I would like to say, nope.
Because messing up the ending to one of your video games is worse than destroying the economy.
Yep.
That's all I'll say about that one.
Yes.
To say fans were kind of upset by this news would be a slight understatement.
Mm-hmm.
But, okay, let's see if I can try and frame why this is a good thing. First off, Disney and Lucasfilm were never going to break things up and offer the rights to the Star Wars intellectual property individually on a per game basis. It was always going to be a bulk deal going to one publisher, and there are only two publishers that have enough financial and creative firepower to handle the Star Wars IP. That's Activision and Electronic Arts, and gamers hate both of these companies. So given that neither company is particularly well-regarded in the gaming community, it's kind of a pick-your-poison kind of thing. For my money, Electronic Arts has the better game developers in its portfolio, so I'm glad EA got the IP instead of Activision. There are primarily three studios under Electronic Arts' banner that's going to be handling these games. It's going to be BioWare, DICE, and Visceral Games. BioWare is pretty well known for Mass Effect, Dragon Age, The Old Republic, and Knights of the Old Republic. So suddenly, maybe Knights of the Old Republic 3 is back on the table. Or, let me just spitball this idea out there. Free on me, you guys at BioWare can take it if you want it. An RPG set during the Dark Times. I would play the living daylights out of that game. Just saying. DICE is known for their Battlefield games. Games that are very, 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 very similar to Battlefront. So for those of you who have been bemoaning the fact that that LucasArts killed Battlefront 3... you might get something even better now. So just keep that in mind. And Visceral Games, responsible for the... The Dead Space games, critically acclaimed games, now has the Star Wars IP in their hands, and they can do some really neat stuff with it. So what does this mean? It means that, A, Disney isn't abandoning the core gaming audience like many feared they would when they closed down LucasArts. B, we're finally going to get a decent number of Star Wars games out every year, and they got a chance to be much higher quality than the stuff LucasArts put out over the last 5-6 years. So, this is good news. I'm happy. Wake up, Nancy.
Oh, you're done?
Okay. Yes, I am. Welcome
just
back,
kidding.
Nancy.
I was listening to what you were saying.
Sure you were.
Hey, I played Knights of the Republic. Oh, let me start it over again. I played Knights of the Old Republic.
Did you finish it?
Nope.
Okay. We'll work
I got
on
to
that.
The very, very, very end, and I couldn't win, so I just got sick of it and stopped playing.
We'll work on that.
We'll work on it?
Maybe. Ooh. We should do a playthrough and video record it and put it on the blog.
Oh, God.
That'd be amazing. I'd love that.
It would be rated NC-17. Did you ever... Viewer if you've ever seen the episode of South Park called Make Love, Not Warcraft, that was me during my brief, not very brief, but my addiction to WoW, as I've yelled out what Cartman yelled out many, many times when I die. So, yeah, that would be me.
In other franchise news, moving on, the Ender's Game trailer dropped.
Yay!
And no trailer is complete without Harrison Ford glaring at something.
Yeah, his narration, though, can go, though.
Yeah, I could have done without
that. It's not
that
very compelling, but I'm really excited about this movie. And I just hope it's good, because I don't want it to suck, because I want more good sci-fi movies, and yeah.
Please be good.
Yes.
November's going to be a really good month for movies, though.
Yes, we got Ender's Game, Catching Fire, and Thor.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yes.
And finally, we end with a bit of sad news.
Yes, Ray Harryhausen, legendary visual effects artist. He did all those cool stop motion movies, Clash of the Titans is one of them, and inspiration for lots of visual effects artists and movie makers, passed away, I believe it was yesterday, at the age of 92. So he had a very long and influential life. They actually have a statue of him at Lucasfilm. And, definitely movies would not be the same without Ray Harryhausen.
So So, industry legend, the filmscape as we know it would not be the same without his contributions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and James just mentioned in the chat the Ackley from Attack of the Clones was a tribute to him. And actually, that whole scene was kind of like a Harryhausen movie with all the crazy monsters and that whole arena scene.
Yeah, so sad news there. We send our condolences out to his family and to his loved ones.
Yes. And go watch Clash of the Titans, the original one.
It's a great piece of cinematic history. You should go watch it.
Yep, not the new one.
Not the new one. Go watch the original.
Yes.
And with that, we're sliding into Cammy's concerns.
Yes.
And we're talking about our favorite things. Our favorite Star Wars things.
Can I make clothes out of Star Wars curtains?
Yes.
No, I want to watch The Sound of Music.
That's enough of the music.
Aww.
So yes, we decided today we're just going to do a grab bag discussion, and we're going to, since it's Star Wars month, the beginning of Star Wars month, we're just going to talk about our favorite Star Wars things. Just we have this list of topics, and we're going
categories.
To pull answers out of our heads and just spit out rapid fire answers to these categories.
Yes.
So we start with our favorite Star Wars movie.
Our favorite Star Wars movie. It changes depending on the day. But I will say overall it is Return of the Jedi.
For me it's usually a coin flip between Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back. Today I'm feeling Return of the Jedi.
I mean I love all of them, and sometimes it'll be A New Hope, sometimes it'll be Revenge of the Sith if I'm feeling in a really depressing mood. But usually it goes back to Return of the Jedi, mainly because that's what I watched most when I first got into Star Wars, and it still resonates with me.
Yeah, so, yep, Return of the Jedi sounds like it's our answer today, but talk to us on a different day and we'd probably give you a different answer.
Are we going to all have the same answers?
That'd well, be cool. You and I agree on everything, so probably.
No, we don't.
Aw.
Not video games.
Favorite scene.
Okay, I think favorite scene out of the entire saga, and you better not pick this one too, I think it would have to be the Emperor's throne room.
That is a good answer.
Yeah, just because the music, the acting, Ian McDiarmid being Ian McDiarmid, it's just great.
For me, I think it's the closing moments of the Battle of Endor as Lando and Wedge are taking out the reactor core.
That's a good one too.
Because there's Wedge being, I got this. I got this.
Yep.
Y'all see this? I got this. Mm-hmm. I love that scene. Made me want to be an X-Wing pilot when I grew up.
Aww.
Favorite theme.
This is a hard one. Because I love all the music from Star Wars. But I love Across the Stars because it's just pretty. And I love the Imperial March because...
Iconic.
Yeah. I think, though, the one that means Star Wars most to me is the Force theme.
Yes, I can see that. Binary Sunset.
That's the same one, Brian.
Force theme, Binary Sunset. I gotta give you a different answer now, don't I?
Yes.
You know what? I'm gonna go with Across the Stars.
Good choice.
At the very least, I say Across the Stars is the most is for me the most iconic theme from the prequel trilogy, even more so than Duel of the Fates.
Oh, yeah, it's a good one.
Yes, and movie character.
Do I need to answer this one?
Audience all together now. 1, 2, 3.
It's Luke Skywalker.
Luke Skywalker. And do I really need to answer this one?
Wedge.
I love Wedge because Wedge is the everyman that shows anyone can be a big damn hero. And someone in the chat sarcastically says, Boba Fett? No.
Where?
Not Boba Fett.
No.
Luke and Wedge.
Yeah.
Action sequence.
Action sequence.
I know mine.
You go first.
It's not so much a sequence, but an act. It's the entire starfighter battle at the Battle of Endor. For my money, it is the best choreographed, best edited starfighter battle in the entire saga. It's easy to follow, yet you still get the sense of chaos and uncertainty. But it's so... When I was writing fan fiction and I needed inspiration for a starfighter battle, I would watch the Battle of Endor starfighter scene.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that's my answer.
I think mine has to be after the bit after Vader threatens Leia and Luke, bit of the fight after that.
Luke loses his cool.
Luke goes nuts, as I like to call it.
Yes, Luke goes nuts.
But a close second, I think, would be Yoda versus Palpatine, because I was not expecting to see that duel. I'd always been anticipating Obi-Wan and Anakin and looking forward to that one. And then, you know, as production was going on, I learned there would also be Yoda fighting Palpatine. And I was like, oh, what? And that made me really excited.
Yes.
And it's just still so much fun to watch because the whole beginning of that scene is just really fun. And then just, you can tell Ian McGeeran was having a grand old time filming that scene. And I have a puppy jumping up on my chair right now.
Audience, say hello to Mar the dog, the show mascot.
No, go away. She wants to talk about her favorite action sequence.
For me, and I think this will genuinely surprise people, I am choosing something from the prequel trilogy.
Which one? Which one is this? Dialogue?
Yes, dialogue.
Okay.
Revenge of the Sith, Obi-Wan's heartbroken last words to Anakin.
Oh, yes. I was going to pick that one.
You were the chosen one. It was said you would destroy the Sith, not join them.
Go lie down.
You were to bring balance to the Force, not leave it in darkness. And I choose this one not so much because of the film, but because of the Stover novelization.
I choose it because of the movie.
That book, though, makes every line in Revenge of the Sith that much more heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm going with something in Revenge of the Sith. Who saw that coming?
Oh, favorite dialogue. It has to be the Luminous Being speech.
Yes, I can definitely get behind that one.
Because it's my life philosophy in a movie quote.
Great choice there. Most memorable moment watching the films. I think I know your answer.
Midnight premiere of Attack of the Clones, definitely. It was awesome. Everyone was so into the movie. I cheered. Mace Windu's feet came on screen and everyone just went nuts. It was so much fun. And that's why, you know, people are like, oh, Attack of the Clones is awful. And I'm like, no, Attack of the Clones is awesome. You just need to watch it at midnight with the right crowd.
Now, my most memorable moment was a night in December of... what year did that VHS re-release go out? 95 or 96?
The VHS re-release?
Uh-huh.
Like the THX one? Not the special editions?
Not the one before the special editions.
94.
Okay. So December of 94.
It's sad that I know that.
December of 94, my dad bought himself a copy of Star Wars on VHS for himself for Christmas.
Yes.
And that night, he sits me down and says, "Son, we're watching the best movie ever."
Aww. That's sweet.
And I was very skeptical because it was an old movie and certainly this couldn't be any good. But I had the greatest movie experience of my life sitting down with my brother and my dad on the couch watching A New Hope. Christmas Eve, 1994.
Aw, that's sweet.
So we didn't do a traditional Christmas Eve thing. We watched Star Wars.
That's traditional.
It was great. Far and away, my favorite Star Wars movie watching moment.
Aw, I like that one.
And, we go from films to book. Your favorite book?
Vision of the Future.
I thought you'd go there. Starfighters of Adamar.
Yep.
So why Vision of the Future for you?
Well, it's a Zahn book, so it's shocking. I think it's, well, it's all the Luke and Mara stuff in it. I just love. But I think it's just such a great finale to the Bantam era and such a great wrap up. And Zahn just does a great job with, you know, bringing back his characters and showing what the galaxy is like and just kind of ending it all up with a nice little neat bow that then gets ripped to shreds. And I also attempted to say Last Command. I love that book too. Probably more than Heir of the Empire just because it's the finale of the trilogy. Starfighters of Adamar is one of mine too, just because it's really fun. And Mindor is another one that I love. But I think Vision of the Future is always the one. And even if I just read the Luke and Mara stuff, it makes me happy.
we interrupt this podcast to bring you an important Waro Express update.
Oh dear.
Bria just tweeted, "Action, finishes sacrifice. Action, breaks all the dishes." Bria, we salute you.
That's kind of timely, considering I was just talking about Luke and Mara.
Why did that happen?
That's not one of our favorite things.
No, it is not. That is most definitely not one of our favorite things.
Let's move on.
But as for why I chose Starfighters of Adamar, it's Aaron Alston calls it Wedge Antilles' Vietnam adventure. What more do you want than that? It's funny. It's charming. It's heartfelt. It's this great character study framed as a Star Wars book. It's brilliant. I love it to pieces. I have torn the cover off three copies. I've read to death. I'm on my fourth one now. It's a great book. If you haven't read it, you need to. It's actually an X-Wing book that functions as a standalone.
It does.
So if you're hesitant at all about picking up the X-Wing book, start there. If you've never been talked into it before. favorite author. I don't know why we're asking each other this. Favorite author, Nancy.
Well, who? That's too many Zahn.
Timothy's on. I love Zahn, but I think I've got to give it to Aaron Alston.
Yeah.
I'm
shocked.
I do have a sentimental reason for this. When I was in high school, I did not have a good go of things in high school. I went through some really bad depression, generally had the lousy high school experience, but I went through a spot where there were months. It was a several month long stretch where I was in the worst depressive funk of my life, and what snapped me out of it was reading Wraith Squadron by Aaron Alston. And as I was reading that book, I burst into laughter for the first time in as long as I could remember. So that book holds a very special place in my heart, and that's why Aaron Alston is my favorite author.
He's a good one.
Yeah, yes he is. And another obvious answer coming up, favorite expanded universe character.
I'm just gonna look at my dog right now. My dog named Mara. Mara Jade Schwartz.
Mara Jade, your favorite character.
And I do call her Mara Jade when she's misbehaving.
Oh, that's when the dog knows she's in trouble.
Yep.
And for me, well, I can't use Wedge because he's a movie character.
You can't use Wedge because he's a movie character. You already used him.
I did. I can, however, use Tycho. So I'm going with Tycho because, once again, the everyman who doesn't have special powers but is a regular guy who's a big damn hero because he gets things done that needs to be done.
Yep.
So
for more of a minor character, I'd probably go for Mirax.
Because Mirax?
Yes.
Mirax is awesome.
Duh.
Someday we're going to get a novel or short story with Mirax and Mara, and it's going to be wonderful.
I know!
Favorite book scene?
This is a hard one.
I've got mine.
You go.
Wes Janson slaps a man unconscious in Starfighters of Adamar.
The blast sword battle. Yeah.
It was so delightfully absurd and so fun and so very Star Wars.
Yes.
It was just fun, and I choose that now because there's not enough books released over the last decade or so that I can describe as just fun. And that was perhaps the most fun scene from a very fun book.
It is. Okay, I actually have a top 10 EU moments list, but this is back from 2010, and it's in chronological order. So damn it. Okay.
Boy, we've really stumped Nancy.
It's the proposal.
While you're thinking of that, I'm gonna go to the chat. No,
it's the proposal.
It's the proposal.
Yeah. It has to be that one because I mean, yeah. But nope. I'll pick a non Luke and Mara one too. I really, really, really loved Luke fighting Shimra in the Unifying Force. Especially when he gets stabbed with the Ampa Staff and then decapitates him with using Anakin's lightsaber.
I can't argue with that. Great choice.
Yeah.
And honorable mention to Union, in which there's a Wookiee hauling a keg.
Yes! Okay, Union is many things, but Union has a bachelor party with a Wookiee and Rogues and Card and Booster. Which, I mean, it's just the best bachelor party ever. I don't think Booster's in it, but Card's in it.
So if we had a category for favorite cheesy expanded universe entry, we'd go with Union.
Yes. Definitely.
Book action sequence.
I just kind of said it with the Shimra fight. I really like that one.
I'm going with the second battle of Black Moon.
The second one?
Yes.
Oh, in which we all think Wedge is going to die.
Yes, and I go with it now in hindsight, only because the story that goes along with the creation of that scene is so very trolly and hilarious. It's essentially Aaron Alston seeing on the interwebs that people are saying he's going to kill Wedge because he's been brought into the new Jedi Order. So he leads us on a merry chase in which it looks like Wedge is about to die. Because Aaron Alston is a troll like that.
Thanks, Aaron. I'm looking at my books. Trying to think. I'm trying to go for a non-Zon.
I want to choose something out of Shadows of Mindor as well, because that was just a fun book to read.
It was. No, that's Zon too. I was going to say Survivor's Quest. Man.
You know, I think I might have to put in an honorable mention for the climax of Scoundrels. I love heist movies, so the whole heist itself was just a great action sequence in that book.
Yeah, I also really liked the end of Choices of One with Mara on the gantry.
Yes.
Okay, well... Someone in the chat mentioned Ganner's Last Stand.
I could go for that.
That's a good one.
Ganner having his Gandalf moment.
Yeah, I do. I think, though, I have to go with Luke versus Shimmer. Just because it's a great fight.
Absolutely.
And it was what I've been waiting for the entire series. And, like, a lot of times authors try to fool you with, you know, what ends up happening in the book. But with a series like New Jedi Order, when you've been following it for 19 books, if they hadn't given us Luke versus Shimura, that would have been really disappointing.
Yeah. Because
that's like what we'd been waiting for.
Favorite piece of book dialogue?
Because unlike the Knights of Old, Jedi Luke Skywalker, you are not afraid of the dark.
Oh, boy, you didn't even have to think about that.
Nope. From Shadows of Mindor.
If you have not read Shadows of Mindor yet, please go read Shadows of Mindor.
It's only because it's what Luke should be like.
It is.
This is why I get so mad when I read other books and Luke is just not Luke.
Mindor is this wonderful love letter to the Bantam era of the expanded universe, and it's great. I'm going with a quote from Starfighters of Adamar.
Shocking.
Sith spit, what's that? That's the sun, Wedge. It's after dawn. Well, it offends me. Turn it off. It's 130, 140 million clicks from here. Go up in your X-Wing and shoot it down for me. I love that book. I love it, and I love so many quotes in that book.
Indeed.
episode of the Clone Wars.
I think I should do an arc. And you're probably going to pick the same one.
Mm-hmm.
Citadel arc.
Oh, those were so good. I can't come up with another one. Though that was my favorite arc by far.
Yeah, I just love. It's just that's just like the whole Star Wars feel to me. It's fun. It's, you know, got action. It's got character moments, and it's a really good one. I also really liked the Obi-Wan undercover arc.
Oh, also very good Obi-Wan undercover.
Yeah, and. I love the fact that James Arnold Taylor does the other voice, too. It's Rayko Hardeen.
Oh, so good. video game.
Considering I've only played one.
Knights of the Old Republic.
Yes.
I love Knights of the Old Republic, but I think I am going to have to go with TIE Fighter.
Shocking.
Oh, TIE Fighter was so good. I miss those games!
I also spent many hours playing the Nintendo version of Star Wars, which I was horrible at.
Everyone was horrible at that game.
It was bad.
Comic.
Oh, sorry. Going back, someone in the chat mentioned Lawless. And I have to say, yeah. Because Darth Maul
was very good.
Because Darth Sidious kicked ass. this.
That's what I'm most disappointed about. We're not getting any more of that.
I know. Comic. I don't have many to choose from, but I have read some. I think I actually have to go with Redemption, Tales of the Jedi, by Kevin J. Anderson.
This is the only time favorite Nancy and Kevin J. Anderson will ever be associated in the same thought.
It's a really good comic. I like Ulic Kildrama. I also like By the Emperor's Hand.
This one is hard for me because I'm self-admittedly, I have not truly, really enjoyed a bunch of Star Wars comics.
Yeah.
So
then why does everyone yell at me for not reading comics?
Because you don't read any comics.
Oh.
There's some great Marvel stuff you should be reading. Hawkeye. Go read Hawkeye.
I don't have time to read other stuff and write.
They're like 20 pages an issue.
I'm trying to write a book. Leave me alone.
I'm going to cop out and say my X-Wing omnibuses.
No, you have to pick one.
I have to pick one?
Pick an arc.
If I
was going to read only one X-Wing arc, which one should I? Which one should I read?
There's a great arc with Corrin and a Mon Cal. It was kind of a...
That sounds like the start of a horrible joke.
So a Corrin and a Mon Cal walk into a bar. And unfortunately, it's been so long, I can't recall the details of this arc. But I recall it was good, and that it had a Corrin and a Mon Cal as lovers in it.
Oh my god, seriously?
Uh-huh.
Oh my god, what is up with Corrin and the interspecies romance?
No, Corrin. Corrin. Q-U-A-R-R-E-N.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Corrin. you need to enunciate, Brian.
Corrin. No, he's only got things for
Salonians.
Yes, Salonians.
Okay. Okay. I'm a little
Moving on into the realm of more macro Star Wars fandom, your favorite costume.
Favorite costume. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
I've got my answer.
I really like the Starfighter Command dress uniform.
Those hideous white things?
Yes.
You just love a man in uniform.
Ladies wear them, too.
Okay. And a similar theme. I'm just going with the classic orange Starfighter flight suit.
Yeah. That's good.
Favorite piece of fan fiction? Ooh, good question.
Son of Sons.
Son of Sons.
Blank 101, if you haven't read it yet, go to... fanfiction.net right now and read it.
I'm choosing one called Flight School.
Your
own adventure Star Wars fan fiction featuring Hobby, Wes, Tycho, and Wedge. It's so much fun.
Yes. Son of Sons, not fun.
No, that's not fun. It's very sad.
It's also very long, so I am not going to tell you to go read it, and I'll wait, because I'll be waiting for a long time. But you should read it, because it's really good. And if they're, pulling people from the internet to, publish their fanfic, they do this with Star Wars, they need to do that with this one.
Mm-hmm. Favorite convention? A nerd, geek culture convention.
Well, the Celebration, obviously, is best. I really had fun at Celebration 3 because it was the Celebration before Revenge of the Sith came out. Celebration 6 was also fun because we hung out.
Let's see. James in the chat answers the Geneva Convention.
That was also a good one.
Slow clap.
Ryan, you going to answer the question?
You know, can you answer anything but celebration?
You could. You'd be wrong, but you could.
You could, but you'd be wrong. It's celebration.
You've only been to one, though.
I know, and it was the best convention ever.
Aww.
And finally, your favorite convention moment.
There's two of them. The first is the first Celebration 5 Mark Hamill panel. No, you're all shocked.
Stunned. Absolutely stunned.
Another one was Celebration 6. Clone Wars panel Saturday morning. Surprise guest shows up, and it's George Lucas.
And I still have tinnitus from It wasn't just you. It was the whole audience losing their collective shit.
You were too.
Yes.
Okay.
But my ears still hurt.
That was pretty awesome. I'd seen him before, but that was awesome because we didn't know that it was happening.
Yeah.
Also, I'd probably say the numerous times I've said hello to Timothy Zahn. And
he doesn't call security.
He doesn't call security. His wife gave me a hug. I was like, whoa. What about that?
For me, my favorite convention moment is probably last year's Ask the Authors panel at Dragon Con. Because you get Aaron Alston, Mike Stackpole, Tim Zahn, and Kevin J. Anderson in a room together. You almost can't repeat what happens in the room.
Yeah. It was good.
Although, honorable mention for... the masculinity in the Star Wars panel at that same convention in which Kevin J. Anderson, out of nowhere, just rips off his shirt.
Yeah, that was fun.
Fun, yes.
I thought of another one, and I can't remember what it is.
You thought of another one, but you can't remember what it is.
Oh, man, what was I going to say?
Although I do have to say, going back one to favorite convention, Dragon Con does get an honorable mention because it was at Dragon Con where I met in person for the first time you and Bria, staff writers at the blog.
Yes, it was. It's not really a convention, but Ashley Eckstein ran me down at Celebration 5, or not Celebration 5, Star Wars Weekends in 2011 and asked if I was Nancy from Twitter. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, they're just so much fun. It's hard to just pick one, but those two were pretty much where I was high on life for the rest of the day.
So, you know, we've been going for about 40 minutes now on just our favorite things in Star Wars.
So, see, we do like Star Wars people.
See? Any of you who think we never talk about positive things, I'm just pointing you forever back to this episode.
Yeah. Can we also do our least favorite things?
Maybe we'll do that on June 1st, after Star Wars month is over.
Yes.
But yeah, Cammy's concerns this week, our favorite things from Star Wars. There's a lot of them. It's a great franchise. And moving on to our final segment. Actually, we have two last segments.
We do?
Yes. Briefly, we have Ask Us Anything.
Oh.
And Mark Newbold asks us, Mark Newbold of Jedi News, asks us, who rescued the TIE fighter pilot who ejected in the asteroid chase in Empire?
Your mom.
What? I don't know. I don't know.
I believe that's called a troll.
Yes. Thanks, Mark. I don't even have a witty answer.
We have to get Mark back on after we see Star Trek.
Mark is one of the most fun guests we have ever had.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, so
we have another
segment? We're giving away a book.
Right. My goodbyes aren't a segment. What are you talking about?
Huh?
I was saying goodbyes aren't a segment. What are you talking about?
Okay, so we have a list of names from people who showed up and commented in the chat today.
Ooh.
And I have thrown these names into random.org's list randomizer.
I thought you were going to say a hat.
I'm too lazy to do that. And it's going to spit out the winner of our copy of Dawn of the Jedi Into the Void by Tim Leben. Thank you to Random House for providing it, and it's going to, Riorin in the chat.
Ooh, yay!
Congratulations!
Hurrah.
You win a copy of Dawn of the Jedi Into the Void. If you could email us your contact information, we are staff, what is our email address? staff.toshistation@gmail.com. Or find one of us on Twitter and we'll take care of it. Email us your address and we will take care of shipping that out to you. Congratulations.
I'm going to tweet her because I think she
all right, she had to leave. But yes, congratulations to Riorin. And that's a little bit of it's a little bit of incentive to come listen to our show live every week because occasionally we give things away.
Yes, occasionally.
Occasionally. Okay, but that brings us to the end of this episode. Sorry for missing last week. We hope this episode back, a little longer than normal, makes up for it. but leave with a quick word from our sponsors. This episode of Toshi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links over on the blog and help us keep the lights on. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles at Toshi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with at Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with at Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we are the Toshi Station Network. We are available on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Toshi-Station.net. That's the official blog of the show. Thank you for listening to another episode, and we will catch you next week.
Au revoir.
This podcast has been brought to you by Solo Sound as the official podcast of ToshiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are the property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Toshi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.